if you're newer to Vertical Church, my name is Philip, and I'm the pastor here, and I'm so glad that you have joined us here at Vertical. On behalf of our leadership and our staff and our church, we are glad that you're joining us here today, and we believe that God's going to speak into your life, and so I'm encouraging you right now, wherever you're at, raise your expectation that God is going to speak into your life today. And we're in a series called House of Hope, House of Hope. And the title of the message today is Posture of Prayer, Posture of Prayer. And are you guys ready for today? What's up, y'all in the front row? What's up, my front row people? I like it. I feel like you don't sit in the front row unless you're ready for something, right? You know what I'm saying? If anybody's showing up on the front row, they're like, I'm ready for something. If not, I'm just hoping I sit close enough so that I know I can't fall asleep because he will see me. So it's just a little bit of something, but here we go. And Brother Ron, thank you for speaking last week. Didn't he do a good job? Yeah. Awesome. Love you, brother. So let's go to Mark chapter 2 today. Mark chapter 2, we're going to be the New Testament. If you're newer to Vertical, I like the Old Testament too, but we're going to be the New Testament today to keep things fresh. So Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, and I encourage you, open up your phone to the Bible app, open up the Bible that you've brought today, follow along, because I'm a guy who I'm going to point some things out. I want you to underline them, I want you to highlight them, I want you to write the date next to when we talk about them, so you can come back and get into the Word of God, because we believe at Vertical, the Word of God is alive, and it's active, and it can change your life. So here we are, Mark chapter 2, starting in verse 13. Then Jesus went out to the lake shore again, and taught the crowds that were coming to him. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at his tax collector's booth. Follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Levi got up and followed him. Later, Levi invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. And I want you to underline what's next. There were many people of this kind among Jesus' followers. But when the teachers of religious law, who were the Pharisees, saw him eating with tax collectors and other sinners, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with such scum?" When Jesus heard this, he told them, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call those who think not who the... I've come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners." I've come with good news today. I've come with good news today that Jesus has not come to call those who think they are righteous, but know those who know they are sinners. Anybody got an amen to that? Amen. I hope I'm not talking to a bunch of people who think they're righteous, or this is going to get real uncomfortable real quickly. But man, I hope I'm talking to some people who have been able to humble themselves and understand, by the grace of God, I've become aware that I am a sinner, and the best news I've heard is that Jesus is looking for people like me. Man, that's good news. The Pharisees come after Jesus, and they start talking to these people. Why are you hanging around with disreputable sinners? And then I love how the author, Mark, points out there was many people like this who followed Jesus. It wasn't just like this one dinner party that was kind of like the anomaly. He had a reputation, Jesus did, for hanging out with people they said were scum. But Jesus said, that's because I'm here, and I'm here for people who know they're sinners, who understand they need grace. They need to be forgiven. They get it, and they want it. He says, Levi, come, follow me. I've got good news for you today. It doesn't matter what you've done in your life. It doesn't matter how many sins you've committed. The good news is Jesus looks at you just like he looks at Levi, and he says, come follow me. Come follow me. He doesn't want you to stay away. And Jesus, at the very beginning of his ministry, Mark chapter 2, if you're not familiar with the Bible, is very early in the ministry of Jesus. Chronologically, this is one of the first things he teaches anybody. He says, I've come not for those who think they're righteous, but for those who know they're sinners. And this is something I believe Jesus is trying to highlight early in his ministry, because he's revealing this is going to affect everything I teach. It's going to affect everything I do. It's going to influence how I interact with people and I live life. And so Jesus says, I've come for those who know they're sinners. It ties in, if you want to write this down, we're not going to go there, but I encourage you to write down John 3, 16 through 17. You're going to see this is a theme that Jesus is teaching all along in his ministry. But Jesus is saying, I've come here to save people. I've come here knowing people are sinners, and I've come to save them. Man, this is good news in the beginning of his ministry. I've come to save people. This is a message of hope. It's a message of salvation that Jesus has come for people who know they're sinners. And so this affects everything he does with his life. And I want us to read the rest of these passages through this lens that Jesus is here to offer hope and salvation. If you're new to Vertical, we believe that the whole Bible works together, Genesis to Revelation. It's all God working out his themes, his plans for humanity, his character. It's all working together. And so you shouldn't parcel it up and try to break it apart. It all works together. So I want us to go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And as you're turning there, you may have heard of the Lord's Prayer. It's a bit more popular of things that I've heard before. Maybe you haven't been to church a lot, and that's okay. Maybe your first time at church today. I'm pumped you're here. I really am. I want to go stand out in the heat, I promise you, with my other two friends who are both named Mike, and we wouldn't be waving if we weren't excited that you're here because we believe God's going to speak in your life today. But Matthew 6 is the Lord's Prayer, some of what he's teaching here. And we may have heard this, but I want us to read the Lord's Prayer today through the lens that Jesus is here to offer hope and salvation. And I think these verses are going to stick out a little bit differently because of that. Matthew 6, starting in verse 5, he says, "When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on the street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on like the Gentiles do. They think that their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them. Underline this, for your Father knows exactly what you need before you even ask him. Pray like this." The first thing I want us to look at in these verses, the first point is a prayer of hope. We're going to break this into four parts. The prayer of hope has four parts according to this. The first is a prayer of hope. It's personal. It's personal. A prayer of hope is personal between you and God. Jesus is showing us when he opens us up how to pray. He's like, if you want your hope to be restored, there's got to be a personal aspect to it. If you want a prayer of hope, it can't only be done while you're together. It can't be done as a congregational thing all the time. There's got to be an aspect of your prayer life that's personal between you and God. If you were here last week and Brother Ron was sharing his story about the broom that tried to attack him in his prayer life, you know what I'm saying? It's personal, though. He was talking, I'm one-on-one with God, and I'm expecting God to meet with me and move in my life. It's a personal thing. But what's so encouraging about this is Jesus says, before you even ask, our Father knows what you need. Before you even ask, God knows what you need. But if you're like me, you may be a bit cynical from time to time, and if you're not, may the Lord bless you. That's great. But sometimes if you read this verse, if we're honest with ourselves, you would say, well, if God knows what I need, why do I need to ask? Anybody else ever thought that? Got three honest people in the building. Let's go. It's my front row people. What's up? We ask, right? Like, if you already know what I need, why do I need to bother to ask? But here's the thing. What if God didn't design prayer just for the purpose of us asking for things? What if God didn't design prayer just for us to be able to ask for things? What if God designed prayer with different layers and facets of how it brings hope to humanity? Because here's what I'm looking at, is when Jesus says God already knows what you need before you ask for it, what if that means God's really trying to get you just to come talk with him and him to be able to reveal, I can take care of you. I can take care of you, but if we never ask, if we're never looking, we never get to see God do it. If he's just taking care of things before we even know to ask, we're not getting to see his character. So what if one of the layers that God has built into prayer is it brings hope? It brings a hope that, God, I'm coming to you, and I know you already know what I need, but I'm coming to ask. I'm looking to see you move. What if God has designed prayer to bring hope? I think that's immediately why he's breaking it down like this, because he's saying, I know what you need. but I still want you to come ask because I want to reveal myself to you in a personal way. Jesus revealing the first part of this, of a prayer of hope, is it's got to be personal. But then look at the next verse. We'll pick it up again in verse 9. Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. The second part of a prayer of hope is there's power in it. There is power in a prayer of hope. Jesus wouldn't teach us to pray something that can't happen. Jesus would not teach us to pray something that cannot happen. And so if you look at this prayer and go, this is designed for us to have hope, then it must mean that I need to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. And if I've met people a lot who've been in church a long time, they've at least prayed this prayer once. They are aware of this prayer. May your kingdom come, your will be done. I think we pray this a lot of times, right? But if it's supposed to be a prayer of power, what does that call us to? See, I think sometimes Christians, we can pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. That's what we pray verbally, but our actions actually say, my kingdom come, my will be done. I think a lot of Christians out here have been building our own kingdoms. And I go ahead and tell you, Holy Spirit dropped this in my heart this week. Some of you right now, you just realized it. You just realized, just like that, Holy Spirit spoke into your life and said, you have been building your own kingdom. You may be praying, your kingdom come, Lord, your will be done, but the way you are living your life does not line up with that prayer one bit. You are looking to build your own kingdom. Philip, how do you know that? Well, I had to get back on social media recently. I've been reading some of your comments. I know what y'all are trying to build. Some of us trying to build our own things. We come into our household. Man, you ever feel like I'm building my own kingdom in my household? Or you going into politics. I'm going to try to build a kingdom. I'm going to try to build this nation. I'm going to try to build America in what makes me feel comfortable. I'm going to build my own kingdom. And I'm going to tell myself that I'm really just going, your kingdom come, your will be done, Lord. But as long as it lines up with what I want. See, if this is going to be a prayer of power, it's got to come from a place of submission to God. You can't pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, if you're off trying to build your own kingdom. And Jesus says, if you want a prayer of hope, it can't be found in you. It can't be, my kingdom come, my will be done. Jesus is saying, if you pray that, if you live that, you will not have hope. But Jesus says, if you want hope, if you want salvation, he says, you've got to learn to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, Lord. And so you may be praying that prayer, but Holy Spirit wants to ask today, are you living that prayer? Are you living a prayer that says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven? So don't build your own kingdom. But the second thing is, do you believe prayer has power? Do you believe prayer has power? Like, I'm thinking when you walk into your workplace and you pray, Lord, in my workplace, your kingdom come, your will be done. Do you believe things can shift? That things can change? I don't think Jesus is teaching us something that can't happen, that can't play out around us. Jesus says when you walk into your household and you got family members who aren't following Jesus, he says you walk in there and you pray, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Come work in my household. Some of us, when we look at our nation, if we can hit our heart, hit our knees, and have our heart humble before the Lord and say, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done in America, on earth as it is in heaven. We pray for other nations that are persecuting our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we pray, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When's the last time you walked in somewhere and you believed you had the power to pray, the Lord's kingdom come, his will be done, and it shifts things somewhere? Students, when you walk back on your campus, let me tell you something, you're a leader. You're a leader. You can walk in on your campus and be praying, your kingdom come, your will be done. Because what have we learned early in this series? Darkness has to flee when light moves. When you walk into your workplace, when you walk into your household, and you think, man, somebody's not following Jesus, there's darkness here. Well, let me tell you something. When you walk in, you pray, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done, because darkness has to flee. When you walk in and people are operating out of fear and they're scared and things, and your perfect love by what Jesus has done in your life walks in, fear has to leave. We've got to start believing that we can go pray this prayer and affect the world around us by the power of Jesus, because he teaches us to pray this, to hunger for the Lord to come and move around us, to not build our own kingdom, but to say, Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, is what verse 13 says. I said, I've got good news today. I've got good news. Jesus wouldn't teach us this if he didn't know we'd sin. He wouldn't teach us this if we didn't need to be forgiven of sin. But the good news is Jesus, when he's teaching us to pray, to have a posture of hope in our prayers, he's saying, you can go ahead and ask to be forgiven of those sins. You can ask, Lord, help me to not yield to temptation. And some of you, when you've walked in today, you are walking in and you are covered in shame. You are covered in shame. Whether you're online or in high watch, you've walked in and you go, Philip, if I'm honest, I've had a terrible week. I've done some things that I'm just so ashamed of. I've got good news. Jesus says you can ask for forgiveness, and not only ask for forgiveness, but you can turn around and then also ask, don't let me yield to temptation, Lord. Don't let me yield to temptation. He's teaching us the prayer of hope has power. Some of us need to start asking, Lord, help me to not yield to temptation. And let's be real. I get it. I'm a pastor, right? And so you write me off, oh, you're perfect, you know, oh, yes, you don't need this or that. I mean, really? Some of y'all have been long enough to hear my testimony. If you don't know me, I want to be honest with you. I used to be addicted to pornography. I used to be someone who rebelled in my heart openly against God. I wanted nothing to do with him. I felt like he betrayed me, he hurt me, he didn't love me, he didn't care about me, and I didn't want to live for him. And in my heart, I openly rebelled against God. And you know what I did? I built my own kingdom. And you know what my kingdom looked like after several years of living for myself? I surveyed the country I had built. It had terrible towers, broken down walls. It looked like a straight dumpster fire. That's what building my own kingdom looked like. And then the craziest thing happened. As I've lived for myself, as I've rebelled against God, as I'm addicted to pornography, God shows up in my life and says, the way you're living your life is not okay, and offers me a chance to repent and change. I didn't deserve that at all. I didn't deserve that. And so, no, I'm not up here with this perfect story and this perfect past. I'm up here with a testimony that says I get what Jesus is teaching, that he came here for people who can become aware that they're sinners. That's why I'm passionate about verses like this. I have experienced this in my life. The grace of God is real. The grace of God is real. Can anybody testify that? Where are my front row people? Amen. Somebody help me out so that the person out here is like, oh, I'm just writing him off because he's a pastor. No, somebody say amen in the building and say it's not just him who's experienced that the grace of God is real and available for people today. Amen. That's good news. And you could have walked in, the Holy Spirit says, you're building your own kingdom. And you start to sense that conviction. I've got good news. There's grace for you today. There's grace. There's an opportunity to say, Jesus, I'm so sorry that I've been building my own kingdom. Forgive us of our sins and don't let us yield to temptation. Verse 14. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. The next thing of a prayer of hope, it's a posture before God. The next thing of a prayer of hope is it's a posture before God. A prayer of hope has always got to come from a place that we're humble. If we want to come and ask for hope from the Lord, he's saying right now, I'll forgive you of your sins, all your sins. all the sins of Philip's life, he's like, I'll forgive you. Wash it all clean. It's the greatest deal ever. He says, but here's the one thing. If you want the hope that all of your sins are going to be forgiven, you've got to show it to others. If you want hope in your life that all your sins are washed away, he's like, you have to give it to other people. And I don't know about you. Have you met other people? The nervous chuckle, and they're like, I hope he's not talking about me. But that's wild. The one thing Jesus stipulates, the forgiveness of all our sins, he's like, you just have to offer it to other people. There's a parable that Jesus tells. We won't go there in scripture, but you can write it down and look it up. He tells a parable of this servant that's before a king, and the king is going to throw out this servant. But before he kicks the servant out, the servant brings in all these people who owe debts to the king, and he starts slashing their debts, starts forgiving debts, starts cutting them down. And the master comes back to him and says, you're prudent. You're wise. That's how it should be. If we have become aware that we're a sinner and that Jesus has forgiven us, Jesus says, if you want hope in your life, you have to offer that to other people. I don't know if you've met other Christians before, because certainly not you guys, certainly not me. Sometimes we are the last people to forgive others. That's wild that Jesus would say the one thing you got to do to be forgiven of all your sins is forgive others. And then Christians, we turn around and go, look at them, them sinners. And before we knew it, when we first became a Christian, we looked like the people who were the disreputable sinners that Jesus is saying, Levi, come follow me. And then after we followed Jesus for a while, we look like a Pharisee. What? The first people to forgive other people should be Christians. The first people to forgive other people should be Christians, because we go, my goodness, I became aware that I'm a sinner and Jesus would ask me to come follow him. One of the things about my life is I tend to, just so you are aware, if you ever come to me for counsel, you're going to find, here's the one thing about me, I'm full of grace. I'm full of grace. I look at my life and I literally would not be here today except for the grace of God. It's not because I'm skilled, it's not because of my talents, it's not because I'm good enough, it's not because I'm good looking or whatever. It's simply the grace of God. No ifs, ands, or buts. I'm going to be quick to show grace because that's what not only Scripture calls me to, but it's what I've experienced. Man, if Jesus can change my life, if he can show me grace, I'm already convinced, why can't he do that for you? Why can't he do it for you? The one type of person I struggle to show grace to is the person who won't try. That's the last thing I'm really trying to work on to show grace is, if you are willing to try, I will go to the ends of the earth with you with grace. But the one person I really struggle with is the one person who doesn't want to try. And I don't know if it's because they think they're righteous and they don't need to be saved, or they just have kind of given up. I struggle to show grace to people who aren't willing to try at all. But man, if you're willing to put in just a little bit of effort, I'll go to the ends of the earth with you. Because Jesus has absolutely shown me more grace than I ever deserve. And he's willing to show you the exact same thing. That's good news. But we've got to have a posture before God that we're humble. It's a posture of grace and mercy that we're receiving from him. And he wants us to reflect his character. The thing about coming to follow Jesus is he wasn't like, hey, just come hang out with me because I want some dinner guests. He says, come follow me and I'm going to teach you my ways. I'm going to make you a disciple. I'm going to teach you my ways to go live this out. He's like, I'm going to reveal my character for you to live in. If we want to have a prayer of hope, it's got to come from a posture before God that's humble, who says, God, I want to reflect your character. I want to show grace and mercy to other people because I've been shown something I don't deserve. And the last verses we're going to look at is verse 16. And when you fast, don't make it obvious, as the hypocrites do. For they try to look miserable and disheveled, so people will admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth, that is the only reward they will ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair and wash your face, And then no one will notice that you are fasting except your Father, who knows what you do in private. And your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. The final part of a prayer of hope is it's a posture before others. It's a posture before others. If you want to pray a prayer of hope, you can't be looking for the admiration of others. If you want to be able to pray a prayer of hope, you cannot look for the admiration of others. Jesus teaches us to fast. We fast every Friday as a church. We skip breakfast. We invite anyone who wants to come fast with us. We don't know who does it. We don't go ask who does it. We don't keep a checklist of who's fasting. But we just say every Friday, if you want to fast, skip breakfast on Fridays and fast and pray for this church. Fast and pray for God to move in your life. Fast and pray for other Bible-believing churches that God is going to move and pour out his Spirit. He's going to bring revival across this land. But we don't know who does or not. And maybe you're not doing that with us. I invite you, jump in. I don't need to know. It's between you and the Lord. But we want to invite you to put that discipline in your life that Jesus teaches us that's going to help us have hope. He says, if you want hope, you need to fast. And some of you right now, you've got things going on in your family. You've got things going on in your workplace. You've got things about this nation that grieve your heart. Jesus says, if you want hope, you need to fast. This wasn't a casual suggestion. He says, when you fast, then don't let anyone else know. Do it in private. And he starts off by saying this is something personal when you pray a prayer of hope. And he closes, this is something personal when you pray a prayer of hope. The worship team wants to come back up. We're going to close out the service. We close out, I want to ask, whose kingdom are you building? Whose kingdom are you building? Because if we want to be a people of hope, if we want to be a house of hope, this can't be about us. It can't be about us. It can't be about being a church that this is the way we want it or this is how we do it. We have to go, Jesus, this is your church and we want to do things the way you want us to. If we want to be a house of hope, it's got to be out of a humble heart that says, God, I want to build your kingdom. It's got to have a belief that you can walk into a school or a workplace or a household and pray, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But what's going to hinder that prayer is if we can't forgive other people. If we can't forgive other people. And maybe right now, Lord's working in your heart. And he's saying, you've got that thing against this person and you need to let it go. You need to let it go because it's hindering your ability to have hope. And I'm not saying it's easy. I'm saying it's what Jesus calls us to. So if you're lacking hope, follow what Jesus teaches. What he teaches is a prayer of hope. But don't miss what he calls us to in it. As we close out, maybe you want us to pray with you. Online, leave us a message. In Hiawassee, come talk with Courtney. If you're here in the building with me, come over there. I'm going to pray there. I will pray with you. I want to encourage you because the good news is Jesus wants every single one of us to come follow him. And today, maybe you've realized you've never given your life to Jesus. You've never given your life to Jesus, and you've heard the good news that he's asking you to come follow him. He says, come follow me. That's good news. And so, Lord, we give you this time. We ask that you can continually reveal your heart to us. Help us to be people who reflect your character of grace and mercy. Help us to show your love to other people. We pray, Lord, for revival to break out in this land, that people will become aware of their sin. Lord, won't you please show us your grace and allow that to happen. Allow us to turn from our ways. I know we don't deserve it. I know we don't earn it, but goodness, Lord, I've seen it happen in my own life and I want it for other people. building our own kingdom will result in nothing. But God, if we humble ourselves before you, what joy we can find in you, Lord. What peace we can find in you. And so I pray right now in the name of Jesus over the people that can hear my voice. God, help us to forgive us. God, we ask that you forgive us of our sins. We ask that you help us forgive those who've sinned against us. God, we ask, give us the power from Holy Spirit to not yield to temptation. Send us forth to live lives that align with the prayer, let your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So Holy Spirit, work in and through us to accomplish all that you want to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.